and he's been talking about the doctrines of the found in the book of Ephesians. We concluded our study of the book of Acts and thought it might just be good to go on and continue with the letters. Book of Acts, of course, the end of it, the story of the Apostle Paul and all of his ministries and journeys. And so we thought maybe we would go on and look at the letters which he wrote to these churches that he visited. So can we put up that first slide, and then we can just a few slides that I made to begin our study here. Paul wrote these epistles. Epistles are not the wives of the apostles. Epistles are letters that Paul wrote. And so all of the churches that he visited, and the and then the people that he met on those journeys, to many of them he wrote these letters, he wrote these epistles. So we're going to look at the book of 1 Thessalonians in the next few weeks as we study that together. Can we run that PowerPoint? Okay. When it starts, we'll come back to it. The end of the book of Acts was Paul's. Oh, there's the first one. That's a picture of the Apostle Paul. When I put this up many years ago in the Bible studies, one of the young people said, I didn't know they had cameras in those days and we could see pictures of those men. So it says, not really the Apostle Paul. That's a, you know, an artist's rendition of Paul. And you see him there writing, right? And so the Apostle Paul, after his journeys, or even while those journeys were going on, he was writing these letters to the churches and the individuals that he came in contact with over his many years of serving the Lord. Let's see if this is going to work. Maybe not. Can you check? Go to the next slide. That's why we love technology, right? Because, all right, now it's working. All right. Oh, so we're going to study the book of 1 and 2 Thessalonians in the next few weeks after our series with Dr. McLeod ends. It doesn't work. My goodness. You recognize that, the scrolls, and this is an actual picture of part of the book of Thessalonians from what we know as the Dead Sea Scrolls. And when I look at this, it amazes me how men can be scoffers and not believe the word of God, right? Here's such absolute proof that these documents are authentic and real, right? This scroll, and if you know the languages, you could actually read portions of the book of Thessalonians on that scroll. And these documents are there in history. And they prove the stories that we read in God's Word. And I don't know if any of you have ever seen those, but many years ago, those Dead Sea Scrolls came to Chicago. And I stood there. I was amazed to be able to stand in front of these actual artifacts, these actual, not replicas, the real thing of God's Word over 2,000 years old that have been discovered. To me, it proves what we believe, that this is God's word and has been preserved all the way down through the ages. So Paul went on these missionary journeys, and So I put some maps up here just to see that the story of the book of Acts ends with Paul on his third, or some people say his fourth, missionary journey. And you know that Paul went on these three missionary journeys, and then the last one to the city of all the way to Rome in Italy. Paul started, that's not going to work. Oh, that's not going to show there. Paul started from here, his first missionary journey to that small circle of churches that he went to, and then he went back to Antioch. His second missionary journey, you'll notice it goes further all the way over to Greece, Macedonia, and down through the lower part of Greece, and then back to the city of Antioch again. And then his third missionary journey, where he retraces his steps and visits a lot of the places that he had been to before. And then we ended up just a couple of weeks ago with Paul's that dangerous voyage that he took. Some people call this his fourth missionary journey. And Paul traveled across the Mediterranean Sea and ended up in Italy, ended up actually all the way to the city of Rome. He was a prisoner at this time, wasn't he? He was a prisoner of the Roman army being sent to Rome to stand trial because he was a preacher and a preacher of the gospel. So that's where the book of Acts ends, with Paul preaching in the city of Rome, or living in the city of Rome, and of course preaching the gospel at that time. So we don't know anything, we're not given details about the end of Paul's life in God's word, but the Bible scholars have told us probably what happened. They put it together by references in history and also by studying his letters and historical records carefully. Paul probably was released from prison and continued to travel and preach around the Mediterranean, maybe as far away as Spain. Later on, he was arrested and imprisoned again. And we read about that in 2 Timothy. You see Paul in prison just probably just before his execution and martyrdom on the highway outside the city of Rome. And so that gives us the entire history of the Apostle Paul. What's left then is to study his writings. These are the letters that he wrote. He wrote letters to these churches and individuals that he knew on his journeys. And we can learn a lot more about Paul by reading these letters that he wrote. So there are, start with Romans. What are they? Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, Timothy, Titus, Philemon, right? Hebrews we're not sure about, but 13 letters that Paul wrote to these churches and these individuals, and they're really important. We've been studying them. Dr. McLeod has been leading, taking us through the book of Ephesians in chapter 1 and teaching us the important doctrines that were there. What did Paul write about in these letters? Just think about it. So much of what we know as Christians come from these letters that Paul wrote. It's really the basis of how we live as Christians, as followers of Christ, what we believe, how we gather and fellowship together. Paul teaches us so much about the truths of God's word. He was a preacher of the gospel, first of all, and we have the gospel clearly written and explained in these letters. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He wrote in Romans, and the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We wouldn't know so much about the gospel and what it means without the writings of Paul. In these letters, he taught us how we should live. He said, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed and be renewed in your mind. These are my paraphrases of these verses. I think it's what they're saying. We saw earlier, he tells us in these letters what the future holds. And we've already read that verse just a little while ago. Paul doesn't want us, he doesn't want us to misunderstand what's going to happen in the future. The Lord is coming back. He writes, at the sound of the trumpet, Jesus is coming back. So all these truths get their beginning in the teachings of the Apostle Paul. But then Paul wrote on many, on many more difficult subjects, what we call doctrine or theology. Dr. McLeod told us last week about the systematic theology book that Schaefer wrote, the founder of Dallas Theological Seminary. Years ago, my brother-in-law, Dan Smith, who was the president of Mayes Bible School, gave me a copy of that systematic theology. It has subjects like eschatology, ecclesiology, pneumatology, soteriology. I can't even pronounce some of these words. All this difficult doctrine in God's word. Somehow I wish that I had paid more attention to my brother-in-law and learned more from all that he knew. But all of these subjects, doctrine and theology, much of it has its seed, its beginning in the writings of the Apostle Paul. There were other New Testament writers. Peter wrote. The Apostle John, certainly, the great book of Revelation and all that that teaches us. And so there were others that contributed as well. But so much of what we know and what our lives and our beliefs that we have today is based on the writings of the Apostle Paul. It's where it has its start. And from there we study it and we learn from it. And I'm not suggesting that we should all be theologians and read these books, but it's in God's word. We should read it. We should read God's word, and we should believe it, and we should live what it says. And I just really believe that without the life and letters of the Apostle Paul, we wouldn't be where we are today, because he has given us really the basic of our Christian faith. Now, one more thing is, we said that there were these 13 letters that Paul wrote. In our Bible, they're not given in chronological order, starting with Romans, Galatians, Ephesians. That's not the order in which they were written. The scholars, the Bible teachers have told us that probably the first letters that Paul wrote were 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. So we'll begin with them. These are probably the first letters that he wrote, and as we study them, we continue our study into the life of the Apostle Paul. Now I had let's see what it looks like. And that's not very good, is it? It's not readable, sorry. So that's just the text of the passage, so we can get past that. And you'll have to look in your Bible and follow the text as we read. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, let's just begin our study. And just a few thoughts as we look at this first book of 1 Thessalonians. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God, sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. So just in a few minutes, just a few thoughts from this short chapter. It's really the introduction to this book of 1 Thessalonians. It tells us here that this church was founded in an atmosphere of persecution. In fact, because of the severe persecution, Paul had to leave. He was only in Thessalonica for probably 1 month. Think about that. For 1 month, he taught them. These were people who had never been confronted with the gospel. And in 1 month, Paul was there and taught them so many of these doctrines and these things. And then he left them. And in a sense, they were on their own to continue on in their Christianity. Paul left because of the persecution. He essentially was chased out of the city. And he moved on with his companions over to Europe, actually, and went to Berea and Athens and Corinth. We studied about those stories. And Paul was concerned about what was happening in Thessalonica. And so he sent Timothy back to see how the believers were doing. We read about this in chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians. It says, now that Timothy has come back to us, and what does it say? He brought us good news of your faith and love. Paul had been there 1 month, preached the gospel, they got saved. He began to teach them so many important truths, like what we mentioned before. He began to teach them about the coming of the Lord, and began to teach them other important doctrines, and also began to teach them how to live. But in 1 month, how could he teach them all of these things? I mean, we have God's word. We've studied it all our lives. We continue to learn from it. These Thessalonian Christians had 1 month of Paul's teaching for all of this truth, which was entirely new to them. What was the chance of success that they were going to continue faithfully living for the Lord? Well, Timothy says he comes back and brings good news. They had some questions. They didn't understand all that Paul taught them, but they were secure in their faith. Timothy said that believers had solid faith. The church was well-founded. They were serving the Lord. We'll see a little bit later on how they lived and what they were doing. So Paul writes this letter back. He writes another letter back to the believers to commend them for their steadfast faith, and he gives them further teaching. And we've seen before the teaching of the return of the Lord was so important to them. I mentioned before, every chapter in this book ends with the words that the Lord is coming back. Jesus is coming back. Hope you believe that, and I know you do, but are we really looking forward to that? Jesus is coming back. It's a very personal letter, and so some of the observations that we can make as we study this chapter, and we can see what Paul is telling these Christians. Look at the beginning of this, the first verses of the first words of this chapter. It says, our gospel did not come to you in word only, but in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. Paul didn't just preach an empty gospel, empty words. He came encouraging these people. It says that the gospel to them came in power and assurance. The gospel of Jesus is powerful. The word of God is powerful, isn't it? tells us in Hebrew, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. The gospel pierces into the very thoughts of men's hearts. And it did so with these Thessalonian believers. They were convicted, and they believed, and the power of the gospel was felt in their lives. And then Paul says that the gospel comes with assurance. It comes with conviction, a sense of assurance and power in our lives. And we need that in our lives, don't we? The world in which we live is full of danger. And we can have peace and assurance through the trials of our life. And that's what Paul was commending, was teaching these Thessalonian believers for you. And Paul says, if you doubt this, then you can look at what kind of people we were. We came to you preaching a gospel of power and assurance, and we lived it. And this is what the gospel can do for you. If you're not saved, if you've never been saved, you can have that assurance, and you can have the power of this gospel in your lives. In verses 6 to 10, Paul gets to be very personal with these believers, and I had a slide up which emphasized some of these points, and I'll just read it and point them out to you. Look at what it says in verse 6. It says, you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Spirit. Underlining those words, they became followers of Paul and his companions. They suffered affliction, and at the same time they had joy. We see that many times in Scripture. How does persecution go hand in hand with joy and rejoicing? Well, Christians can do that. And then it says they became examples to the churches and the people all around you. For from you the word of God has sounded forth. And in the next verse, verse 8, it says, your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. These people, after just 1 month of being taught by Paul, became examples and really testimonies to all the surrounding cities and towns of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse 9, it's really the proof of what they believed and what happened to them after they responded to the gospel that Paul preached. It says, you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And then that word of the coming of the Lord, to wait for his son from heaven. The proof of the gospel is that they turned, their lives were changed. Power and assurance, their lives were changed because of what they had believed. And one final thought that I just like to think about is found back in verse 1 of this chapter. I told you it was a very personal book. Paul is talking to their hearts. And Paul says, we give thanks to God for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your faith, your work of faith, your labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Just think of those three words, faith, love, and hope. They are really favorite words of Paul. He repeats them many times in his letters. Remember in 1 Corinthians, the great chapter about love, you have those words again, faith, hope, and love. They're the marks of a true Christian, and we should ask ourselves how we display those marks of a Christian in our life. And he talks in this chapter, he amplifies on those words a little bit more. He says, let's look at these terms a little more closely. First of all, he says his work of faith. And that's probably a reference to their conversion. The people came to Jesus, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom you sent." We don't work for salvation. God works in us, but we must believe. Salvation is by faith. So many verses point that out. But when we respond, when we believe the message of the gospel, then salvation comes into our lives. And that's what happened to these believers because of their faith. So it's not just a verbal expression of saying, "I believe," but yes, it's trusting the Lord for salvation. And then their labor of love, it's not pointed out here, but later on, the Church of Thessalonica is commended for their generous giving to the Lord. And Paul writes about this in 2 Corinthians, and you read about it in chapter 8. We won't go through all those verses, but Paul writes how they were so generous in giving to the Lord. He's talking about this church in Thessalonica, how they were faithful, even in times of great affliction and persecution. They were faithful in giving to the Lord. It said they gave out of deep poverty, giving to the Lord to the benefit of other people. Paul commends them because they were examples to all that were around them because of their faithfulness in giving to the Lord. So the work of faith and their labor of love, their patience of hope, that we've talked about already. These Christians were looking for the hope, the blessed hope, the eternal future with the Lord Jesus Christ. This was the result of salvation which the Lord had given to them. Work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope. They're strong Christian words, aren't they? When you talk to your neighbors and friends at work, how many times, I've mentioned this before, how many times do we talk to people and use the words faith and hope and love? They're not words that I call them Bible words. Oh, we can use them. They're English words, but they're words which are important in God's word. They're strong Christian words, and they are really the marks of a Christian. They're the proof that our conversion is genuine and that we are trusting the Lord, our faith, our love, and our hope for the future. And then finally, in verse 8, it says, "For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but in power and in much assurance." And Paul had seen this in the lives of these Thessalonian believers. There was power in their lives. They were living for the Lord, and it was making a difference in their lives and in the lives of other people. And verse 9 says, "The proof of it is that they turned to God from idols to serve the living and a true God." This is the gospel that Paul preached. Comes into our lives with power to change and transform. Paul writes about these things in so many places in his letters. He says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes." The proof of God's word is the gospel. It's the power and the lives that are changed because we believe and trust the Lord for salvation. If you're not a Christian, you need to take a close look at the gospel of Jesus. The good news of Jesus. He died for our sins on the cross. Put your trust in him. Commit your life to him. And you can be saved. And the power of God will change your life, just as it did the lives of these believers. Let's pray together. Father, thank you again for your word and the important message we have. The gospel of Christ is so amazing. We just thank you for the faith that you've given us here this morning to trust and believe in you. And we trust and pray that each one here knows or the Savior. Thank you for the Apostle Paul and the great man that he was, and his faithfulness in serving you, and how much we owe to what he taught and has been passed on to us even down to this day. Help us to live for you. Help us to trust you. Help us to believe the words that we reach in today, that your life, your words can change our lives. And help us to live for you and to serve you. Bless each one that's here today, our time together. Bless this time of fellowship together that we've had. Pray in our Savior's name.